What's up, everybody? Okay, I'm a quick explanation. We're about to go down. Felix is sick. Sergio is in business meetings. So we're just going to do a quick episode today. Just me. Probably like 15 minutes. I'm going to touch on like three quick topics. I don't want to sit here all day by myself. That might get redundant. So I'll just be in and out by myself. I was afraid we wouldn't get one this week, and it's way too big of a fight week to not have one. So here's a mini one. And we're starting. What's up, everybody? My name's Dustin, and this is the Sweet Science Class Podcast. All right, thank you, everybody, for joining in to the Sweet Science Class Podcast. Today is a little bit different. Felix is feeling under the weather. His voice, he said he sounds like Tyson Fury without even trying. And and Sergio flew to California for work, and he thought he'd be out of business meetings, but he's been in there all day and he can't get out. So it just kind of ended up with just me today. We were worried we wouldn't be able to squeeze one in before Saturday, and we all know what Saturday is. It's too big of a week, too big of a fight week to not do an episode. So I'm just going to get in here, do a quick 10-20 minute, you know, breakdown of the fight, touch on B-Vol, Manny Broner, and I'm going to get out of here. So let's start it with Manny Broner. We knew that fight was probably happening. It is finally official. They did the press conference last week. And as always, Adrian Broner brought controversy. He did his normal shot taking. He says whatever he wants to say. If only he threw hands as much as he threw words, we might see Adrian Broner differently. Manny's taking shots too, man. It's going to be a fun fight. Manny doesn't seem to be caring about what Broner says as usual. Broner even took some shots at Freddie Roach. That had the internet up in flames. I don't blame him. It was a cheap shot. I'm 50-50, man. I'm an ex-battle rapper. All's fair to an extent, but at the same time, it's not. It's a fight. I don't know. I don't know how I feel. But Broner is Broner, and, you know, you gotta know what you're getting with him. So that fight will be in the next, I think it was for January, pay-per-view. I don't know how well that's going to do. I think Broner's got the right idea, though. Talk, talk, talk. His best chance is to talk, talk, talk. Manny's name with Broner, talk, talk, talking. They may sell some decent pay-per-views. In my opinion, Manny's still going to win that. I'm not going to drink the Broner Kool-Aid. I've said that many times. I've drank it. My belly's full of it. It's gone. I'm not doing that anymore. I don't care what he says. I don't see him throwing punches. If he does, I mean, I want him to. It'd be a great fight. I just don't see it. B-Vol. Everyone's been talking about him. He fought John Pascal this past Saturday. Arguably won every single round. I had it 11-1. I think I gave the 10th to Pascal. But I might have just been searching for a round to give him. It was his best round of the whole fight. You know how it is. After you give one guy 10 rounds, sometimes it's almost a pity round. Like, oh, you did better. He may have won it. May have been 12-0 B-Vol. I'm seeing a lot of hate on the internet about Dimitri B-Vol, saying he's overhyped, overrated, still green, which he still could be green. This was only his 15th pro fight. Here's how I see it about Dimitri B-Vol. His skills are there, man. His power might not be. I believe they did build him up a little bit more of the Kovalev style, super heavy-handed. And, I mean, he knocked out Trent Broadhurst. He did knock out Sullivan Barrera in the final round. He's got power, but it doesn't seem to be that heavy-handed Kovalev, George Foreman, Inju power. But he's got the skills behind that. Maybe the power's not there, but he probably won all 12 rounds. Yeah, Pascal's old at this point. But he's a vet, man. And Pascal's only been stopped twice by the same guy. And it's Kovalev, heavy-handed Kovalev. So I'm not going to see B-Vol go 12 with Pascal and then start saying he's overhyped. Because his skills, to me, are very much there. He looks good in almost every way. He doesn't get hit that much. It almost reminds me of Arislandi Lara. Not that they're similar in style, but to an extent, they're so good and so technical they can almost get boring. I notice sometimes during a B-ball fight, I'll almost be zoning out. I'll almost start to, if it's late at night, I can catch myself dozing off. But it's not because he's not good. He's just schooling these guys so one-sided, man. I'm excited to see him get more and more competition. I figured Pascal wouldn't be a ton. I figured Pascal would make it all 12, which he did, but that's good for a young fighter like Bivol. He doesn't need to get that false confidence. Like, oh yeah, I can take everyone out with one shot. I'm a Kovalev. I'm a heavy-handed guy. It doesn't matter. I got that eraser to save myself. He needs to learn. You don't want to depend on that. So he's depending on his boxing. Winning rounds, it's hard to say in the last four or five fights. I mean, if he's lost many rounds at all. And I think in the last, like, five fights, there's been two, maybe three rounds out of close to 50 rounds where the opponent landed double-digit numbers. Nine or less in most rounds. That's absurd. Bivol's got the skills. I'm not going to jump on the overhyped, overrated ship yet. I want to just see how he keeps progressing. Some people just don't knock people out. That's just, you know, we talked about it a week ago, me and with Felix and me, about some people just have that knockout punch, some people don't. Bivol does seem to have some pop and some power, and it does seem to hurt people, but it's not going to just get him out. But he also said that he was willing to go down to 168. He'll fight anybody at 175, but he'll also take on any champion at 168. That's Callum Smith. That could soon to be Canelo. I'm seeing Bivol Canelo talks already going. That could be a fun fight. So I'm a fan of Bivol. I'm curious to see what's next in the future. He might not be the knockout artist that we thought he might be, but I think he's a boxing artist. So, like I said, I'm not going to jump on the overhype train. I'm ready to see what he does. I'll give him a few more fights. Most people don't jump in with like a John Pascal in their 14th, 15th fight. His last three or four fights have been decent names, you know. Sullivan Barrera. So, yeah, I'm not completely sold, but I'm not completely against Bivol. I like what I see. Really, all that's left is Wilder Fury. Before I break that down and give my final big prediction and breakdown, because I really haven't done that on this fight, let me just name the list of the fights for this weekend, and then I'll end this on my prediction. Friday night, the infamous, the legendary, the GOAT, Jeff Horn, coming back after beating Manny Pacquiao, no matter what we think about that, and then taking a loss to Bud Crawford. This will be his first fight back, going against fellow Australian Anthony Mundine. And this is a fight that they've been talking about for a year or two, maybe three. They're both Australian. They've been talking, you know, just having a hometown war. Well, it's finally happening. It makes even more sense now that Horn lost to Bud, lost the belt. Anthony Mundine is 43 years old. I don't know what to expect from this fight. Jeff Horn has a 13-year age advantage. He's 30. Mundine, again, is 43. Who knows what Mundine you're going to get at this point. This could be a really rough, ugly fight, but it could be entertaining. I sense blood. There will be blood in this fight. That's on ESPN+. And then Saturday, you've got two cards going on pretty much at the same time. I don't understand that completely. Start with Showtime. Undercard, Chris Namus. She is, I believe, the IBF champion. She's defending against Marie-Eve Decaire. Probably not pronouncing that right. That's the undercard to the Adonis Stevenson-Alexander Vozdik fight. I'm pretty sure it's Vozdik and the G is silent. And that's for Stevenson's title, man, and a lot of people really want to see that belt go anywhere else away from Stevenson. I think we can all agree he's been one of the more questionable champions over the last few years. He just picks and chooses and does whatever he wants. And it's really about time we see that belt, you know, quit being held hostage. Even though he did legitimately probably beat Badu Jack, that was a really close fight. I thought Jack was coming back, but I think that body shot in like the eighth or ninth is what totally saved the fight for Stevenson. Vozdik is apparently the real deal. I've watched a little footage. I've seen a little bit, you know, I've heard, I've read about him. He was trained by Lomachenko's father, who also trains Lomachenko, and Usyk. I believe he just went to Teddy Atlas, though. This will be his first fight with Teddy Atlas. Don't know what that's going to do. Some people don't work well with Teddy. Some people can't handle that type of... You know, Teddy's going to yell at you. Some people can't handle that. Other people, like Tim Bradley, they turn into firemen. They love it. They feed off that. So we'll see. I'm very curious to see what Vozdik can do to Stevenson. That's a hell of a fight. The only thing that's disappointing is it starts 7 p.m. Central Time, which is Texas, where I'm at, right before the Showtime pay-per-view, which is the Wilder Fury event. So I believe the Stevenson main event will be going on with the pay-per-view undercards. I don't know how well thought out that was. I want to see both. That's a little unfortunate. You may have to pick. You may have to make a choice. Just skip the undercards, watch Stevenson, and go to the main event, or watch the pay-per-view, record Stevenson, and watch that at the. I don't love the logic behind that, but that is what's happening. So those fights are on the Showtime event, and then the Showtime pay-per-view. It's a loaded card, man. I'm only going to talk about, you know, the main four or so. Starting from the bottom, you got Joe Joyce versus Joe Hanks. That'll be a good heavyweight bout. People are pretty big on Joe Joyce. I believe he's 5-0. He's been sparring with Tyson Fury, getting him ready for this fight. We'll see, man. He's a big, big guy. Hearing good things, but we will find out. Luis King Kong Ortiz making his return since losing to Wilder. This is actually his first fight and Wilder's first fight since that fight. Like 8 or 9 months, back in March, about 8 months ago. He'll be taking on Travis Kaufman. That should be a pretty fun fight. I mean, I see Ortiz winning, but Kaufman should make it a fun fight. I'm hoping to see some hands get thrown, maybe some knockdowns get traded. We'll see. Jarrett Hurd, he's making his return post, I believe, shoulder surgery, rotator cuff or something like that. He's taking on Jason Wilborn. It's definitely a comeback tune-up fight. I'm not going to crucify him. He's coming back. It's tough for me to see someone come back post-surgery, especially on an arm or a shoulder in boxing, and be upset at them for wanting to take a comeback fight or two, which is why I'm not mad at Keith Thurman. But that's another story. And then the main event, man. You got Wilder Fury. We've been talking about this for about 2 or 3 months now. It feels really weird that it's already here, actually. It feels like a couple days ago we were watching that first press conference, and that was 2 months exactly. So October 1st, yeah, man, this 2 months flew. I think we're all pretty excited for it. If you aren't, I don't know what your deal is. I don't know what you're waiting for. Yeah, we want to see Joshua and certain things happen, but this is what we're getting, and this is about as good as it gets right now. The Tyson Fury come back too quick. I don't know. I don't know if those two fights were good enough, but when you see him in pictures and in video, he's clearly more driven than he may have ever been in his life. Like, bravo to Tyson. He has lost all that weight, maybe even more than he gained. He looks in phenomenal shape. All the clips I'm seeing, he looks really good. Seems beyond confident. There's no bad signs pointing over there. I was worried, you know, is he coming back too quick? Is he too fat? Is he not taking it serious? Did he really drop all the drugs and the mental illness? All that seems fine. He seems happy, sober, fit, healthy, and confident. Those are really the five things you need, right? Then you got Wilder. Probably never been tested as much as Fury. Because Fury's got the Klitschko fight. Some say Wilder's never been tested, except for maybe Ortiz. And then some people say that Ortiz was 50, 70, whatever number you want to insert for an LOL, and that it wasn't a test. Wilder almost lost and got not almost beat and barely beat a 39, 49, 59, whatever, year old guy. I don't see it that way. And until we ever have proof of Ortiz being above 39, 40, I know how it works with the Cubans. I know. But there's no proof. It's kind of like the Manny Pacquiao steroid thing. We strongly assume there's no proof. So, I've been really watching footage and really trying to break this fight down. And it's 50-50 to me, man. Tyson's got the skills. not even a comparison. He is a better boxer than Wilder. Clearly. But so was everybody. Everybody that Wilder fought. They were better than him. Even if they weren't that great of a boxer, they were probably better than him. Skill-wise, technicality-wise, because he started at such a late age. He keeps his stance real wide. So sometimes when he throws that right, he gets left off balance, and then he gets caught. I see that as a concern. I could see Fury being able to just step back a lot of those punches with the wide stance. Step back, bop. Just quick counters. Quick counters all night. He's pretty good with the uppercut. The thing is, Tyson's a lot of head movement. He is pretty technical and skilled, but he's a lot of sort of, you know, Ali in them. He, you know, tries it. You know, tries to be quick with the head and stuff. He keeps his hands down. He'll kind of duck in and out. And in his last fight or two I was watching, really, I mean, most of his fights, it's not crazy to see Tyson take a shot kind of in the forehead or the top of the head, take overhand rights because of the way he leans and gets out. If Wilder can come across the top and land one of those shots over the top, it's just tough for me to imagine him standing up to that. On the flip side, if I was watching a video on these people explaining this, if Tyson flips to southpaw, he's got a much longer range and a bigger distance from Wilder getting that shot. It might almost be an advantage for Fury to box southpaw in this fight. Who knows if he'll do it for all 12 rounds. Does Fury have what it takes to box him for 12 rounds and never get caught with that right? I do think it's possible. I think it's very possible. We saw him do it against Klitschko, but I'm not going to compare that fight because Wilder's not Klitschko. No, Wilder's not as skilled as Klitschko. I'm not insane. I'm never going to say that Wilder is as good as Klitschko, better, or even close to the technical skill. But Wilder's Wilder. Klitschko fought timid, tame, cautious, and just weird that night. Wilder's not going to do that. Wilder is not going to do that. He's very athletic. He can move around. He can find his way in. It might be ugly. It may be the most hideous thing you've ever seen. And you may hate watching Wilder's style. And trust me, I see y'all's comments daily. I know. He has a huge hate club. But he's finding a way to get it done against people who are better than him. By a little, by a lot, I don't know. But they're better than him. And he finds a way to get it done. So I'm going to lay down two scenarios that I see this fight. Three scenarios. One, we just get the whole world shocked out of us. It's like a one or two round fight. Wilder comes in, and he happens to land like he did on Stiverne. Now, pump the brakes. I'm not saying Stiverne and Fury are on the same level. Fury's a better boxer. Calm down. But if that right lands, if it breaks the guard, who knows? I won't be shocked if it's a fast night, if Wilder somehow, bow, right out the gate. That's the least likely to me. Second scenario, very possible. Fury boxes all night and embarrasses Wilder. And that's it. Just embarrasses him. Boxes his ass off. Never lets Wilder land a shot. Do I think that's possible? I do. If I'm being honest, I do. I really do think that's possible. I just don't know if he'll be able to do it off the two comeback fights. Those were way less competition. You know, he didn't bring it back up how I thought he would. I thought he would take another fight or two and really build it up. He didn't quite do that. But if he's there, if he is at Klitschko level, if we're seeing 2015 Tyson Fury, it's very possible he boxes for 12 rounds and wins a decision, maybe winning 10 to 12 rounds. The third scenario, I think the second scenario is pretty likely. I think the third scenario is just as likely. This one. Similar to the second one. Fury wins most of the rounds. Embarrasses Wilder early.
And I'm going to tell you this, unless Wilder gets the first scenario, gets that quick knockout, no matter what happens, I think Wilder will be embarrassed for a few rounds at least. I think Fury really may put some skills on him. Those first two, three, four, five, maybe six, seven rounds. Some of us are going to be home like, oh my God, what is happening? But that's the thing. It doesn't matter how many points Wilder gets down. All he's got to do is land one shot. So the third scenario, we get the 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe even the championship rounds. Fury won arguably every round. Wilder feels the panic and says, I got to do it. I'm going to lose. I got to go for broke. Someone's getting knocked out at that point. Wilder is too big and strong to just decide it's go time, street fight. Wild swinging from all directions at a Fury in the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th round who's a little bit fatigued, maybe more than ever in the past because he came down so much weight. Maybe he drains a little better, bit quicker, a little faster, gets more fatigued. If Wilder feels that panic and turns it into a firefight towards the end because he knows he has to, I don't see Fury surviving that. Unless he can catch some crazy, beautiful counters in between, which is possible. I'm not saying that's not. But man, when you got a guy that ferocious, I don't care how unskilled you think he is, when you got someone like Wilder coming at you and they say, one of us is getting knocked out cold, it's go time, I know I'm down on the cards, it's just tough for me to imagine Fury withstanding that. I'm not saying he can't. So my final prediction. I'm going to go Wilder. And it might even be my American bias. I'm also a Fury fan. I've been a Tyson Fury fan. I'm even more of a fan now with the whole comeback and talking about the mental illness. I'm down for Tyson Fury, man.
He's a cool guy. I like everything he says. He's hilarious. He's funny. I like Tyson Fury. If Tyson Fury wins, I'm not upset. I'm not sad. It doesn't ruin my life. Congrats to Fury. Go beat Anthony Joshua. Because then Fury will have beat Klitschko, Wilder, and then maybe Joshua. I'm all on board with Fury if he wins. But I'm rooting for the American heavyweight champ. It's been a long time since we've had one. It's a big deal for us. 40-0, almost pure knockouts, man. If he can knock Fury out, it doesn't matter what you think about him. He's up there. Who's left? Joshua. At that point, he will have knocked out Fury and Ortiz. There's not many people left. You got to bring on Joshua. So I see a Wilder knockout or a Fury decision. And I see even those things just being combined together. Fury may be winning that decision. And then, boop, one shot. One or two shots. That could be all it takes. But again, Fury could easily do this. Fury could box for 12 rounds beautifully and never get touched. I have totally visioned that happening. I can see it. So I'm not against that. I'm not against Fury. If Fury wins, amazing. But as an American, I gotta say go Wilder. But either way, I'm super excited. And I haven't been this excited for a heavyweight fight in a long time. I was excited for Joshua Klitschko. But Joshua was more on the come up at the time. These two are there. Monsters, undefeated, champions. Like, this is the fight that needs to happen. So that's where I'm at. Fury by decision, unless he gets knocked cold. And I kind of hope that happens. But both fighters, they've sold this fight very well. I've loved the press, the promoting. Both guys are cool, family guys, funny. It's going to be a good pay-per-view, man. I really hope a lot of people go out there and buy it. I hope they break at least 500K on the sales. It'd be sweet if they hit a million, but wow, that'd be Triple G Canelo numbers, basically. I don't know if that's going to happen. This is each of their first pay-per-views. That's tough. But I think if they can hit 500K, that's a win. That's a win. It gives the winner a little more leverage against Anthony Joshua, and we can see what happens from there. So that's really it for the show today. Please leave your comments on the live video if you're watching on Facebook, or if you're listening along, go to the Sweet Science Class page. Come join the group. Let's discuss it. Who do you think's going to win? Do you think I'm wrong about something? Tell me. It's cool. Let's debate it out. It's all opinion. But that's just what I've seen and studied for many, 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 many weeks now. While they're going to catch that right hand, hopefully while getting outboxed 95% of the fight. But I can't wait. I hope everyone out there is excited. The undercards are dope. The Stevenson fight's going to be dope. It's a good weekend. Even Jeff Horn Mundine is going to be an interesting fight, man. So we got a good fight weekend coming up. Even some good fights next week and the week after. Loma, Canelo, we'll get there next week's time. So I'm going to cut it for now. It's unfortunate that Sergio and Felix couldn't be a part of this today, but as always, they'll be on the next episode. They're here to stay. We are the Sweet Science Class. And yeah, just give me y'all's feedback. What do y'all think about the pay-per-view this Saturday? And please order the fight, support your fighters, and enjoy your fight weekend. And that's it for this episode. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and I really hope you enjoyed it. As always, I thank Sergio and Felix for being a part of the Sweet Science Class team. And until next time, remember to keep the science sweet.